Our civilization is founded on the shambles, and every existence goes out in a spasm of helpless agony. And if you protest, my friend, wait till you arrive there yourself. This is the Unshow. Wow, man, how was that? That was the greatest opening of all time. That puts us in the mood, doesn't it?
I got to soak my head in salt water after that one. Absorbing the blows of life to the face before we even start, man.
I just like to set the tone of the show.
Captain Darkness.
Especially after coming out of Stroke and Short Buff.
from a lighthearted romp right in the sea of muck.
All right.
Andy Dufresne swam through 500 yards of raw shit to get out of Shawshank.
All we're doing is treading in the murk.
Yeah. Murk treading since early 70s.
You know, we got a very savvy audience, a very erudite and well-educated, and everybody's got to know that's William James.
Billy James?
Yeah.
What's his rap name?
I love him, man. I love William James, and heartily recommend a couple of books by him. Talks to Teachers is a great book, a series of lectures where he talked to teachers, and Principles of Psychology, and The Varieties of Religious Experience. If you can get that one, I recommend that. It talks about all religions, all religious experiences, and he was a very open-minded guy who did a lot of nitrous oxide back in the 1870s and 80s, believe it or not.
Didn't he write the baseball abstract, too?
He did, he did. Many years ago, through kind of like coming back from the dead, he wrote that.
Okay.
He was following the Red Sox for years. You know, he died in 1910, so when that book came out in the 70s, he had been following the Red Sox post-mortem for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wherever he was, and he wrote that book. No, he was one of the great thinkers, American thinkers, of the, born in 1840, died in 1910, put Harvard on the map, put American psychology, American philosophy on the map, and his brother was Henry James, one of the great novelists that this country's ever produced. And what's really great about both those guys, they were very smart and funny guys. So if you read any of their correspondence between the brothers, you know, they're dishy, they're gossipy, but it's very clever, you know, humor between the two, you know, and they never suffered fools gladly. And William James for years, and this plays to your show that you do, The Mothership, you know, on Sunday nights, he never shut the door on paranormal activity, never did. And would always attend seances for years, seances, to see if anybody could cross over and really speak to the dead. And even at the end of his life, he never shut the door on that, but never found real proof. He always found charlatans and scam artists. And that was a big form of entertainment back in the 1870s and 80s and 90s.
Yep, sure was.
Seances. And, you know, people would try to you know, milk money from people who are desperate to see their wives, their husbands again, and so forth. But it was always some kind of chicanery going on.
I'm surprised it doesn't come back now. Now's the perfect time for it.
You think so? You do?
In this day and age, yeah.
Yeah.
People are really open to that whole thing. I think you could really scam a lot if you went and did a seance. People would believe it.
Yeah, so but what happened to John Edwards, your boy?
John Edwards? What boy is that?
No, I'm talking about the guy who crossing over. He had a show in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, he had a crossing over. It's called Crossing Over. You know, he was huge. And then South Park did a rip on him in 2002, a rip where one of the boys exposes him in the episode doing a – he becomes famous for doing his own scam. I think it was Kyle. And he kept going to the house of John Edwards, calling him out all the time. He says, no, I do have this power. No, you're a douche. I do have this power. No, you're a douche. The kid, he keeps yelling at him, you know, until John Edwards starts breaking down and crying, and the guy was never to be heard from again. Never to be heard from until he was on an episode of The Kardashians. They brought him in to talk about Kim wanting to talk to her father, the guy who defended O.J.,
Robert Kardashian.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how crazy is this world where this guy comes back, he knocks on the door. It's all fake, you know, reality shows, you know. But, William, you know, getting back to William James, He never would shut the door and just dismiss it out of hand, you know. So that's what I kind of like about the guy. You know, he was really open-minded even till his death. Even till his death, where they asked him to sum up his whole life, you know, to put it into a paragraph or so, you know. And the best he could come up with was, to quote him, was, there is no conclusion. What has been concluded, what can we conclude in regard to it? There are no fortunes to be told. There is no advice to be given. Farewell. I mean, that takes a lot of balls, man. You know, after, you know, 40 years of studying, you know, philosophy and psychology, and most people, most thinkers, try to take their baby and make it part of the fabric of culture. You know what I mean? Making it as a truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused to do that. You know, I'm handing the mantle to you. I'm going down the wormhole. I'm handing the baton to you. Now you run with it. See what you can do with it. This is the best I could do. Pretty amazing, you know.
And his grandson was Rick James, punk funkster.
Well, hell, man. You know, if William is listening, I don't think he wants to know that.
You don't think so? I think William might, I think he's a big listener of the Un Show.
Yeah. He might be, you know, especially when he was banging Linda Blair.
William James or Rick James?
Rick. Wasn't Rick banging her?
Yeah, Slick Rick.
Yeah, Slick Rick. And I think he says, man, do that pea soup thing, man, when I'm fucking you. You know?
Well, he waved his freak flag.
He did. He's dead now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's dead. His heart went out. A lot of coke, a lot of lifestyle excesses.
Yeah, it's terrible, man.
James Johnson is his real name.
Oh, really? Really? Why do you change it from Jimmy Johnson to Rick James?
How many James Johnsons are there?
Well, he could have been Jimmy Johnson.
How many Jimmy Johnsons
or
are
Jimmy
there?
Or Jimmy James?
Jimmy James, he's Rick James. That's what he decided.
Or Jimmy Richards?
I think one of the reasons he went AWOL in the 70s.
Yeah.
He went to Toronto. He's from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that, man. You know, when I think about him, he's all right.
The guy's all right with you?
Yeah.
He's a super freak?
Yeah.
The kind you don't take home to mother? I love his music, man. And he's very controversial in the 70s. I think he's a really talented guy.
Yeah. I mean, I love that song, though. I think it's funny. I do. Super Freak. I think it's a funny song. You know, I just like the attitude and the beat to it. It's not something I put on to get into my Naugahyde Lazy Boy and listen to necessarily, but in the car it's funny, you know.
It's the punk funk, baby.
Yeah, yeah. You were into all that stuff.
I don't know why either.
Yeah, yeah, because you're the whitest man I know.
Whitest punk funker of all time.
Yeah, I'm saying physically you're a very white guy.
Very white guy.
What about Cameo? Were you into Cameo?
Oh, I love Cameo. Larry Blackman.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
This is a big thing. We're in the cod piece.
Yeah, they had a cod piece. Didn't they?
Larry Blackman. I just saw him recently. It was George Clinton and P-Funk and Cameo at one of the casinos in Northwest Indiana, outside of Chicago. It's a heavy black area.
Wow.
And I went down there and saw the show.
God, didn't he have a line of cameos they were endorsing for a while? I mean, cameos of cod pieces they were endorsing for all years?
That I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, because I know that Ian Anderson had tried to get that going, had cod pieces going. He was with Jethro Tull.
Mm-hmm.
cod pieces
didn't really didn't go well with that,
God,
that
what,
crowd.
What the hell is that? Why do they call it a cod piece? Because it's like a piece of fish laying there, like a cod?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Larry had that flat top too, that high flat top.
Like
Kid.
Kid and Play, like the pencil eraser.
Yeah, is that what they called it? What was the style?
I don't know what that was called.
What was the haircut called? Do you have any idea?
I'm very white.
Yeah, you are very white, but man, you were into the Funkenstein too. Dr. Funkenstein. Wasn't he your physician for a while? You there?
I lost you. I got you back now.
Wow, man. That was crazy. I'll edit that out. Didn't you, wasn't Dr. Funkenstein your physician for a while?
Yes, he was. Turn your head and cough, white boy. Dr. Funkenstein. That's really funny.
And I don't even think he was a licensed physician.
No, he practiced.
But he practiced, though.
From the mothership.
Oh, my God, man. Those guys had it all back then. It was pretty crazy. If you look at some of the videos of the clothing they wore, crazy, man. Mm-hmm. You know, big, big collars and, you know, they were
It's a different time, man.
It was a different time. That's why that stuff doesn't come back very well. Stand the test of time.
I think the music itself holds up pretty well, in my opinion.
Oh, do you?
I mean, I've seen Clinton many times, probably yeah. 50 times, and just some of the best musicians I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they're off some nights, but when they're on, never seen anything like it. 4 hour solid show, unreal.
4 hours?
Yep.
Wow, man. I don't know if I could take 4 hours of anything.
I think I've seen them 50 times. I might have seen the end of the show 5 times.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's like you don't go to the buffet and eat all the things on the buffet. You eat until you're full, then you go home.
Right. So why do they feel they got to do a 4 hour show?
I don't know. Is it drug induced? I don't know. Maybe they just feel that they want to do that.
Yeah, maybe they're addicted to performing. Some guys are. You know, can't get off, like Wayne Newton, you know. You know what I'm saying? He'll play 40 instruments because he can do it. So he feels, you know, if I don't play all 40, the audience is not going to see my immense talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
I saw him live. I thought he was great.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, he plays the banjo, the trumpet. I mean, you name it. You know, he can sing. He used to be able to sing. Now he's pushing 70. But yeah, that guy was a major talent, all around talent. That's the problem with show business now. You know, you don't get multi-talented people anymore. I mean, Usher's pretty multi-talented. Usher, you know, the guy can sing and dance. You know, like in the grand tradition. You know. Most of the people are very narrow now, very narrow. So they can do what they do in their bailiwick, you know, in their neighborhood. And they're hot for a while. But once they try to do something else and break out of that, they fail miserably because they're not trained like the old school guys were. Like Sammy Davis Jr., I mean, the quintessential entertainer. Impressions, he could sing great, he could dance great, he could play the trumpet. You know, he can draw Western pistols, you know, like a, you know, anybody you've ever seen, he practiced that. He liked doing that. But most of these people now are just very narrow. Like, what are rappers going to do? What is Lil Wang, the Chinese rapper, going to do? Lil Wang, after his career's over.
Lil.
What is he going to do?
Maybe open up a laundry?
That's what I mean. You know, Lil Wayne. What is Lil Wayne going to do when it's over? You know, he can't sing. He's not an actor. You know, so they hopefully bank the dough. And he can open up a home for wayward rappers, you know, when he gets older.
That's his new album, Bank the Dough.
Yeah, you know, Bank the Dough.
Close the dough, bank the dough.
I mean, Snoop Dogg, you know, he's, you know, not an actor, but he can be in pot-smoking movies. He can, you know, do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It doesn't require much, but, you know, that's the thing. You know, it's very niche, entertainment is. You know, people are just into that little narrow groove, making a lot of money. And then hopefully they can have enough to live on for the rest of their lives. You see this with DJs, too. Electronica DJs. They're very hot. Dubstep or Rusko. My son listens to this stuff. I don't listen to it. And they pack them out. 10,000 people come to these shows. So for 2 years, until somebody else comes up with a different kind of electronica DJ kind of style, they'll make money. But where do you take it? You know, it's all computer generated. You know, how do you... You know, and you get older, and your tastes change. You don't like that heavy bass for 2 hours, man. It's unrelenting, you know. That's why you got to be high on ecstasy to kind of get into the groove.
Have you tried that? Have you tried ecstasy?
Ain't that bad. Yeah, that's the thing. So, you know, I don't know what to make of show business anymore. Like this movie, The Hunger Games. They got another franchise now. It did $155 million. Now, you know you're going to get 5 of these movies coming down the pike.
Yeah, better like it.
You better like it, you know. And if you're a young kid, they did like 18 to 24 crowd. It was 50% of the audience there, you know. So you know you're going to get 5 more of those. Like The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead on AMC was seen by 9 million people, the premiere episode this season. 6 million were between 18 and 34. That's the key demo.
Right.
And Mad Men gets 3.5 million total viewers because, as they said in the article, okay, they said in the article, it's the demo skews older and more educated.
Okay.
I rest my case.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sorry if they say it's a more educated. I don't want to be elitist here, but, you know, so that's why you got only 3.5 versus 9 million people who watch Walking Dead about zombies. Mm-hmm. You ever get tired of zombies?
I do, myself.
I saw Night of the Living Dead, and I've seen enough zombies after that. You know, I mean, you know, once I saw that one movie, I was done with zombies in 1969.
With old George Romero.
Yes. And I think part of the appeal to that movie, it's so badly made and so overly, the film was so overdeveloped, was so contrasty,
mm-hmm.
that it lent itself to the macabre nature of the tone.
Okay.
I don't think it was his skill as a filmmaker. I think it was probably his second movie he made. You know, they shot it in Pittsburgh in the backwoods here, you know.
Sure. But it's a classic, though.
No, it's a classic. And it's really creepy. And when you see the daughter in the basement eating his own mother's intestines,
mm-hmm.
boy, you never saw that before. Me and my buddy were running home from the movie theater, the Vogue Theater, running 2 miles.
Okay.
You know, I was 16, freaked out until I saw The Exorcist.
Oh, that would put a hurting on me, too.
In 72, 3 years later, and it still packs a wallop.
Mm-hmm.
Still packs a wallop. My cousin Heidi had to sleep with the lights on. She's 2 years older than me. Had to sleep with the fucking lights on for 2 weeks. God,
wow.
I was 19 then. She was 22, sleeping with the lights on.
Yowza.
You know that scene where you see the condensation of her from her breath?
Right.
Well, what they did was they found an old freezer, meat locker,
mm-hmm.
and redid the bedroom in the meat locker. And that was actual condensation. So all the actors were in like 40 degrees there and breathing.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't faked in that sense. And it looks just like the bedroom. They did a great job. I thought it was brilliantly done. And there's not a lot of scary parts to that movie in aggregate compared to the running time of the film, you know. But
mm-hmm.
when they do show up, the menace, the great thing about the movie is when the mother is downstairs, in the back of your mind as a viewer, is that she's in the bedroom upstairs, the menace. The menace is always there. So that plays on it. So when you do get to go up there for the 4 or 5 scenes, it really, really ratchets up the power of them. And
mm-hmm.
it's brilliant. You know, still to this day, it's 40 years old. And you can't say that about too much. You know, you show your kids Psycho, they shrug their shoulders at you. You know, my mother, in 1960, when I was 7, saw it in Detroit, and we were staying with cousins, my brother and I, and she came in. I said, "How's the film?" I used film back when I was 7. "How's the film, Ma? How was the film, Ma?" She said, "I couldn't sleep. It was so scary." When she came home, you know. So you take it 12 years later, you got The Exorcist, you had Night of the Living Dead, The Exorcist, you know, and nowadays, it's just all blood and guts and dicing and slicing to get a rise out of people. You know, it's like sensory deprivation back in the 1960s when Hitchcock did it. You couldn't see that before. It was so revolutionary. Now it's just people have seen so much. How do I take it? Hostel and, you know, The Cabin in the Woods that's coming out now. You know, they got a killing floor, and these guys are behind these, windows that are one way. They can see the kids dancing and partying, and then they're talking to the killers wherever they are on their little headsets. You know, it's completely fucked up. You know, something I don't want to see. There's no subtlety to it. And they, you know, and then there was, what's-his-face, you know, a Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 73.
Yep.
That really put it over the top. That chilled me, too.
You saw it when it came out?
Yes.
See, I think the age difference now makes a difference when you're talking about that kind of stuff. 73, yeah. I was 10.
You're right. That would you would have been dead. You would have ran away from home and joined the circus, man, after seeing that movie.
But I remember the ads for it, and it was very controversial at the time.
Yeah, except you know they got I think Steel Leatherface got an endorsement with McCulloch or one of the chainsaw manufacturers after that.
Well, the state, it was based on Wisconsin.
Yes.
But I guess the Wisconsin Chainsaw Massacre wouldn't sound good. Yeah, it's got to be Texas.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and that was Ed Gein, who was the model for Psycho, too.
the Connecticut weed whacker incident.
Yes.
That wouldn't work.
No, no. But wasn't he? That was Robert Bloch's book, Psycho. It was based on Ed Gein.
Yep, as was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Isn't that crazy?
And he didn't get it. He didn't get one. Never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner, man. Ed Gein.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, did he do that with the skin? That was the thing with him with the skin.
He only killed one, I guess.
Yeah. He only killed one, right.
He only killed one.
Yeah.
But he dug up people up from the grave, and he made lamps and stuff out of their skin.
Oh, okay. So he did that after they were dead.
Like leather, after they were dead.
Okay.
The joke around Wisconsin, this is even old when I was a kid, but I heard you're about the new store in the mall called Farmer's Fannies.
Wow. Instead of Fanny Farmer.
Farmer wow. Fannies.
Genius.
Ed Gein joke.
Ed Gein. So what happened with and then your other boy who trumped everybody, Jeffrey Dahmer?
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, you were living in Wisco when that was happening, weren't you?
I was on the radio doing morning radio.
Yeah.
And our news woman came in, and it was we were going there at 6 o'clock in the morning. She comes in about 6:10. Says they just found boxes of body parts, and she said the street was 25th and Kilbourne, but that was about maybe 5 minutes or less away from the radio station.
Yeah.
And we were on the 21st floor. You were in that station with me.
Yes, yes.
And you could look out on the top floor where we were in the penthouse, and you could see where the house was. It was surreal, man. That was a worldwide story.
It was worldwide. That's right. He became a celebrity too, man. I mean, I don't mean a good celebrity, but you know what I'm saying.
No, well, it's funny because they wouldn't announce his name for the first few days.
Yeah.
And they said a resident of a certain building. And one of the people in the station, I think it was in the news department somewhere, he had a book of all the residences in Milwaukee, and you could go by address, and you could see the name of the people that were registered to live there. And this is an apartment building where his address was, and there's 10 apartments on a floor, 3 floors, so it's 30 apartments, and there was 30 names there. And they said one of these names is going to be infamous, like Jack the Ripper or John Wayne Gacy or this mass murderer. We all took votes on which one it was going to be. Those 30 names there. Who do you think it's going to be? Not one of us picked Jeffrey Dahmer.
Not one. What do they have, a pool?
Yeah, we went out of pool, but we said, okay, what name do you think is going to be?
We're
saying all the names. It's like, yeah. Which one's going to be the infamous murderer? Which one is? And nobody picked Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
And the other names weren't particularly infamous sounding. They were just names. I mean,
right,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Right. Right, man. That thing was huge. That trial was huge. It was so grisly that it just captivated everybody. And it was almost like Psycho. It was like a Psycho reality show about the movie Psycho, but the real guy in it, you know, just completely nuts. And, man, he had a terrible ending, too. They took him down in prison, didn't they?
Yeah. This guy was doing about 200 years, named Christopher Scarver. And I guess they were on some kind of duty together where they're cleaning.
Yeah.
And Scarver had a hand barbell from the gym, took the bar and beat him to death with it.
So he wasn't thinking about good behavior at this point with 200 years to go.
Well, no, there's another guy too that killed his wife and tried to blame a white guy killed his wife and then bought a Raiders cap from a gangbanger, and gave it to the cops saying this is I found this by my dead wife.
Right,
he tried to blame on a black kid.
No, I understand. So when you got 200 years, what's the point of having good behavior at that point?
Right. Well, he took them both out, is what I'm saying.
Yes. So you might as well just keel haul both these schmucks. And what are they going to do? You're not going anywhere.
That's my point. They said I heard that the guards found him on his bed after he killed him, and he's rocking back and forth on his bed singing "It's Another Lonely Christmas."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man. So Dahmer, he just crushed his skull with the barbell.
They said, if they wouldn't have known his prison ID, they couldn't have identified him.
Well, that's the problem. How do you keep him in general population? Those kind of wackos, man. You know, child molesters and rapists. They're looked down upon as they should be. But the hierarchy there. If you're an armed robber, murderer, maybe that gets more cachet. But when you do something against No. children or women, raping them and this kind of stuff,
I think most of the people in prison are probably there because they had that done to them.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times what light the fire of their angst.
You're talking about growing up with the wrong parents and being raised or not having parents.
Yeah.
And being foster children and just being passed down, and Dahmer took it the wrong way.
he took it the wrong way, man.
Yeah, that was something. And he would keep them in the freezer, too. You know, like my grandmother's, like a mason jar of my grandmother's mushroom barley soup. You know what I mean? When they opened the freezer, they found skulls, didn't they? Heads?
Yeah. There's all kinds of jokes going around. What did he say? What did he say when he opened his refrigerator? My baloney has a first name.
Wow. Go. Come on. I want to hear the rest.
Okay. why can't you play poker in Milwaukee?
I don't know.
Because dominate all the black queens and most of the hearts.
Oh, my God, man. Jesus.
Those were. That's been so long. It's been 20 years ago.
It's so funny how jokes come out of these horrible things.
Oh, a week later, they were out.
How about an hour after the space shuttle blew up? Remember when the space shuttle blew up in the 80s?
Sure do.
You know, what does a space shuttle and the Buffalo Bills have in common? They both couldn't get past Miami. That was an hour after it blew up. Somebody called me, a comedian.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, coincidentally, I was working for you in Pittsburgh and living in Milwaukee, and I think it was my first road week was that particular week.
Right.
And now, looking at it, I've made the drives like that a lot longer, thousands of times. But at the time, I was a guy named Kyle Nape. We drove from Pittsburgh to Milwaukee, and that was like a marathon, like a cross-country Lewis and Clark. So I got home. I remember just sleeping, just, you know, like 14 hours. I was just so exhausted.
Yeah.
And I was renting a room from some people at the time. And I remember getting up out of my room, and I walked up and said, "Hey, what's new? The space shuttle died, and space shuttle blew up, and everybody died."
Yeah.
Oh, come on, really? No, what's new? No, the space shuttle died. It was on TV, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then the term O-ring became synonymous. That failed O-ring.
Yeah.
You know, which I think mm-hmm. some gay porn actor used that for a porn name.
O-ring?
Yeah.
It's a rapper, isn't it? O-ring. The joke I heard, there's a restaurant in Milwaukee called Pieces of Eight.
Yeah.
It's like a seafood restaurant. And you hear about the new restaurant in Florida, Pieces of Seven.
Ay, 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 man. I'll tell
you. Same thing.
You know, people are ruthless.
Yes, they are.
They have no ruth.
No, ruthless.
It's crazy. Yeah. But that's funny, you know, like an hour later, I couldn't believe it. The guy calls me up. They both couldn't get past Miami. Wow.
I still have a copy of Jeffrey Dahmer's police report.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I was on the radio there, and a reporter was coming in every other day talking about the case because it was so huge.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey, you might want to hang on to this. They're not giving them away anymore at the police station. It's kind of a, you know, so it's for details for talking on the radio. And you couldn't get him anymore because people were wanting to get him as souvenirs." So
was that his whole rap sheet?
Yeah, what he did to the victims.
So he wasn't in jail or any kind of trouble before this.
I don't think he was.
Wow, crazy, man. You know, instead of having like a, you know, like a measured career, like, you know, early serial killer, you know, mid career serial killer, and then you know, like an end of the career, like an artist. He just did it in one fell swoop.
He went right to the big leagues.
Yeah, man. Well, we're going to turn this one out, baby.
It's the best show we ever did.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and you guys have been right on the money, as usual. As listeners, check us out on PKN Radio, on this fine network, on iTunes, Podomatic, and we'll see you again. We'll see you on the other side. I love you.
Later.
Later. Bye-bye. Sometimes I-